Let's pray together, and boy, it's so good to see the fellowship there. Let's pray. Father, thank you for just a wonderful day to come together, and we celebrate freedom. We celebrate freedom to worship and freedom to serve you, a freedom that we don't want to take for granted, Lord, as we say to each other, welcome this morning. We welcome you, and thank you for being here with us. Speak to us now through the music, the message, and the fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
As Americans, our freedom was fought for long before recent wars, like World War I, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam War, war in Iraq, Afghanistan, against ISIS. People actually started fighting for our freedom in America during the American Revolutionary War, also known as the American War of Independence, between Great Britain and her 13 colonies, which declared independence and eventually became the United States of America. Did you know that four battles of that Revolutionary War took place in South Carolina? The Battle of Sullivan's Island, the Battle of Charleston, the Battle of Camden, and the Battle of Cowpens. American battle deaths during the Revolutionary War totaled over 4,000 men and women. So today I want to speak to you about celebrating America's freedom. So if you have your outline, take it out. You can fill it in as we go along. It'll also be up here on the screen. Celebrating America's freedom. The first thing I want to talk about in this first part of the message, and then we'll go to the second, is we need to recognize what's right with America. Now, I know America isn't perfect, and you do as well, but I get tired of always hearing that bad and the negative about our nation. It amazes me that some people who don't like our nation's policies threaten to leave the country if those policies aren't changed. But they don't leave. Because they know this is one of the greatest countries in which to live in the entire world. What is right with the United States of America? First, letter A. We as a nation value and provide freedom for people. Freedom is a biblical, godly concept. God created us as free. He gave us a free will. He gave us the freedom to choose him or reject him. And God wants people to live freely, not enslaved in any way. Look at this verse out of Micah chapter 4, verse 3. All the nations will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. All wars will stop and military training will come to an end. Everyone will live quietly in their own homes in peace and prosperity, for there will be nothing to fear. I can't wait for that day. It speaks of a time when everyone will enjoy the freedom that God wants us to have and wants us to enjoy, and with which he wants us to be responsible. America has embraced, developed, fought for, protected, and offered freedom to anyone who desires it. As a nation, we were founded upon freedom. It's stated in the three big documents of our nation. In the Declaration of Independence, it says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life," what? "Liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Liberty is freedom. In the Constitution of the United States, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, we provide of the common defense, we promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty." And then in the Bill of Rights, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition government for a redress or a grievance. Our country is set up so people can enjoy freedom. On the 4th of July, we should celebrate the fact that America values and provides freedom for people. It is not that way in many parts of the world. We are blessed to enjoy it. The second thing that's right with our country, B, we welcome others into our nation. Zechariah 3:10, it says this, "And on that day, says the Lord Almighty, each of you will invite your neighbor into your home to share your peace and prosperity." Our nation has shared our blessings by welcoming others into our nation to become American citizens, to live and work and enjoy life here. From Emily Lazarus's poem, The New Colossus, which is inscribed on the Statue of Liberty, it says, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free." Since 1820, about 200 million people have legally immigrated into the United States. That's about 3,000 per day, 365 days a year, for the past 185 years. It's over 100 people per hour. I believe America should continue to allow legal immigrants into the opportunity to be free here in our nation. Just remember, folks, it wasn't many generations ago one of your relatives immigrated to this nation. Another thing that's right with America, letter C. We offer opportunities for success and excellence. In 1 Peter 2:12, it says, "Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles." God wants our behavior to be excellent. And this includes our work or what we do at school. We're to strive for excellence. And in so doing, we provide opportunities for other people to strive for excellence as well. Andrew Carnegie, I know that name at least sounds familiar to you, came to America literally penniless. But he worked hard with excellence, and he became one of the richest people ever in the United States. Back in 1977, Mr. and Mrs. Fields baked and sold some cookies. Need I say more? They did it excellently. Arno Penzias, born in 1933, a family immigrant to America, he came here when he was 7 years old, penniless, but he didn't let that stop him. He worked hard and excellently, becoming a world-famous astrophysicist. I don't even know what an astrophysicist does. Whatever it is, Dr. Penzias did it good enough to earn the Nobel Peace Prize in 1978. I could call your name or your vocation, businessman, engineer, teacher, sales, administrator, mechanic, insurance, hairstylist, nurse, doctor, therapist. Maybe you work on a farm. Maybe you work from home. Maybe you're a caregiver or a chef, a financial advisor, administrative assistant. How our nation is set up, whatever you do, you are given the opportunity to do it excellently. The sheer fact that there is an American dream says a lot about our nation. You never hear people saying they want to be part of the Russian dream or the China dream or the North Korean dream or the Laos dream or the Cuban dream. They don't exist. I thank God we live in a free nation that gives everyone who wants it the opportunity to succeed with excellence. Another thing that's right with America, letter D. As a nation, we help others in need. Psalm 10, verse 18 says this, You, God, speaking of God, you, God, will bring justice to the orphans and the oppressed so people can no longer terrify them. America has helped her own and other nations multiple times, numerous times, ongoing with money, resources, military support. Governments may speak badly about our nation from time to time, but when they have a need, who do they call on? United States of America. We help those in need. And another thing that's right with America, letter E. We have recognized our need for God. In Psalm 33, verse 12, the Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Now, I want you to notice for letter E, I wrote that in the past tense. We have recognized past tense. Because there was a time in our nation, we had literally nationwide revivals. People looked to God. And personally, I don't think that's the case now. We think we are self-sufficient and we have no need for God. How's that working out for you? I grew up in Baltimore and I was blessed to grow up there for a lot of reasons. The Orioles and crab cakes. The best crab cakes. Sorry, Charleston. The best crab cakes. That's why everybody wants to make a Maryland crab cake, right? But there was also a place there called Fort McHenry. And I've been there multiple times. A gentleman by the name of Francis Scott Key, he was a young Washington attorney. And during the War of 1812, he sailed to the British fleet to obtain the release of a captured American. But Key himself was detained by the British, and he witnessed the bombardment of Fort McHenry out there on a British ship, just pounding Fort McHenry during the nights of September 13th and 14th in 1814. But defended under the command of Major George Armistead, the fort withheld the attack, and the sight of the American flag at Fort McHenry, still flying in the early light of dawn, inspired Key to write what became our national anthem. Now, we know verse 1, right? Shall I sing it for you? Yeah. No way. All your backs would hurt then. We know verse 1. We don't know verse 4. Let me read verse 4 for you. Oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that has made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just. And this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in trumpet shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. You got to know verse 4 to know that that's in our national anthem. In God do we trust. In 1861, Congress enacted legislation that put those words on certain coins. But it wasn't until 1955 that Congress mandated that those words be put on all coins and paper money. And at that time, Representative Bennett in 1955 said this: "In these days when imperialistic and materialistic communism seeks to attack and to destroy freedom, it is to prosper for us to seek continuously for ways to strengthen the foundation of our freedom. At the base of our freedom is our faith in God and the desire of Americans to live by His will and by His guidance. As long as this country trusts God, it will prevail. Sometimes people just forget that kind of thing. Those words that are ingrained in who we are as a nation. Now I realize some people won't worship God, and that's their choice. We give, as God gives us freedom, we give people freedom to make their own choices, right? It's our obligation, it's our desire to pray for and help those people come to know Christ, but some won't. That's their choice. But that doesn't mean our country wasn't founded in God. We value and provide freedom for people. We welcome others into our country. We offer opportunities for success and excellence. We help others in need. And we have recognized that our nation needs God. You want to know what's right with America? There's five things right there. I guess it's five. I should say letters. But anyhow, there's E worth of things right there. So, number two, in celebrating the American freedom that we have, those are things that are right with our nation. Now, how do we show love for our nation? How do we take that gift of freedom that God's given us through this nation and through Jesus Christ? How do we show love for our nation? Well, showing love is one way that we can bless our nation and the people in our nation. So a couple of ways to do that. Letter A, obey your country. Romans 13:1 says, obey the government, for it is God. He is the one who put it there. All governments have been placed in power by God. So those who refuse to obey the laws of the land are refusing to obey God. God Himself established government. Now, He is not pleased with every form of government. Not at all. A broken, sinful world and a broken, sinful people have created governments that oppress people and benefit only a few. Please don't blame God for their selfishness and their sinfulness. God, we need government, but that was not what God intended. God intended for life to be an ordered process. He's not the author of chaos or confusion. When He created the world, He did so in a very orderly fashion. And one of the ways He established order was through government. People cannot coexist without some form of government. Now, there are rules and guidelines where you work, in some of your neighborhoods, for schools, in every area of life, without which chaos and confusion would exist. We need some guidance. We need some rules. Matter of fact, look what the Bible says in Matthew 22:21. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. One example of following the rules of our nation is paying your taxes. Like you, I think we're overtaxed. I think we are overtaxed. If you don't agree, that's okay. We just differ. But being overtaxed doesn't mean we don't not pay our taxes. We should do it. I know some folks who don't pay their taxes. They cheat the government, and I think that's wrong. It's not right. Now, I realize we work from January to April just to pay taxes before we actually make any money. I get that. It reminds me of the businessman who was near death, and he asked that his remains be cremated and the ashes sent to the IRS with a note attached that said, "Now you have it all." Taxes are actually mentioned in the Bible at a rate of 23 to 30%. We show love to our nation by paying our taxes back, whether we like it or not. The thing with taxes in America, we at least get some things from it. Our roads, I know there's holes in the holy city, I get it. But our road system, access to health care, protection by law enforcement, fire people who help us when we're struggling, entertainment, national parks, clean water, we get things from the taxes we pay. Most countries get zero for the taxes they pay. Nothing. I was in Kenya a couple of times, and I was riding around with my friend we met in seminary. And we're in Kenya, and God help us, we're riding. I don't even know where. They don't have roads. We're riding out on dirt somewhere, and there's nothing. Nothing. And I'm going like, how do you know where to go? No GPSs. And we come up to a place that's like just a man-made stop with some tables and stuff, and I thought, okay. And when we stopped, Wanji just said, just be quiet, just be still. Well, why was? He reached over into his glove compartment, and he pulled out a little type book-like type that had some money in it. And I thought, well, I guess he's got to pay some road taxes or something here. And so the gentleman took it, he looked at it, took the money out, put it in his pocket, and gave it back. So we were on our way again. I said, Wanji, what was all that about? He said, well, I had to pay that man money or we wouldn't continue to travel. I said, all's like, does it work for the government? He said, no, that money he is stealing from me and he puts in his pocket. Because he has a gun, I have to pay him. I said, well, what do you get for it? He says, I get not to be killed. I get to keep on driving. I know taxes are rough. But pay your taxes, show your love for your nation, and we do benefit from them. Number two, or letter B, how else can we show love to our country? You can honor your country. Romans 13:7, give everyone what you owe him. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Despite our imperfections, America is still considered the greatest nation in the world. People want to come from all over the world to not only just visit here, but to live here. It's ironic to me that people who live here sometimes show the least respect and honor for our nation. The representatives who attached their signatures to the Declaration of Independence knew the cost of doing, of helping to help America become free. They knew the high cost of that. Five were captured by the British as traitors, and they were tortured before they were killed. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost sons in the Revolutionary War, and another 2 sons were captured. 9 fought and died from wounds and hardships from the war. Liberty does not come cheaply, folks. Honor our nation. I love the song by Lee Greenwood, and I know you know it. I want to break out with it. I thought about playing it, Jason, but I just get real pumped up, and I would cry a lot. Honor our nation. He said in his song, if tomorrow all the things were gone, I worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I'd thank my lucky stars to be living here today because the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died who gave that right to me. And I'd gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today because there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Honor our nation. Honor our first responders, our military who put their lives on the line, those who go into harm's way to protect our freedom. Honor them. Honor our nation. And last, another thing we can do to show our love for our nation is to pray for our nation. It's not last because it's least. It's last because it's most. It's the thought I want you to go away with. Pray for our nation. I want to give you a little quiz, okay? Here's the quiz. Don't say it out. Just in your own head. Do you know what this quote is? Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon you, and we beg your blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. That's the 22-word prayer that was declared to be unconstitutional, which led the removal of prayer out of our public schools. 22 words. And they said, no more. Well, I'm here to tell you this. As long as there are tests in school, there's prayer in school. Folks, we've got to become, as the people of God, Christians, we've got to come to a place where we pray, beg God to forgive our nation and to get us back on the right track. I wished I lived back in the old times when we had two nationwide revivals. I mean, they just caught on fire. They literally went through the nation. It was incredible. You should read about them. I would love to have lived back then just to experience that. My prayer is, and this is what we need to make our prayer, that God would do that again. But it means we have to pay a price. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I urge that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. We are told to pray, to intercede for, to give thanksgiving for. It says kings. They had kings there in our nation. It would be president, vice president, Senate, Congress. As believers, it's our responsibility to pray daily for our nation, for our nation's leaders, because the way God moves is through the prayers of his people. Fill that in. We do this because the way God moves is through the prayers of God's people. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Then, this is God speaking, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. We humble ourselves, we pray, we seek God's face, we turn from anything in our lives that are wrong, wicked, sinful, and we pray and we literally get on our faces and we pray. God says, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive, and I will heal their land. Folks, the responsibility of the welfare of our nation is not placed on the shoulders of government, nor educators, nor politicians, bureaucrats, because the greatness of our nation, of any nation, doesn't start nor end with them. The responsibility of the welfare of our nation is placed upon Christians, because the greatness of our nation starts and ends with the blessing and leadership of God, which comes through humble prayer. Last night, we spent some time with my nephew and his wife up in North Charleston at a 4th of July party 2 days early. And it was good. Did a Buford stew, Frogmore stew, whatever you want to call it. Had fun there. Played cornhole. It's a terrible game. Just a terrible game. I don't even know if I even won a game. You know, we played doubles. I don't think I did. The team was stacked. It was. My nephew would always play. Who did he play with? I don't remember. He would always play with, we played with, oh yeah, the two best guys. Oh, yeah. And we just had a lot of fun. And my nephew, Ross, doesn't understand limitations on money he should spend on fireworks. These were not fireworks. These were like better than what you see at the River Dog Stadium on a Friday night. I am not kidding. And the HOA he lives in up there, it's legal to do that. It blows me away. I mean, monsters, crazy. All night long, he wore a shirt, sleeveless shirt right here. And on the front of his shirt, it said, "Sorry, I can't hear you over the sound of my freedom." And I thought, that's pretty cool. It reminds us of the people before us and even now who have sacrificed so we can enjoy freedom. In the video we saw at the beginning of the message, you could hear the sounds, couldn't you? The bombs, the landings, the people, the bullets zinging by. At Utah Beach, at Iwo Jima, all over, World War I, World War II, Vietnam War, everywhere. You could hear the sound of freedom. Sometimes you hear it in Charleston. You don't really hear the C-17s. They're like, you know. But every once in a while, they send fighters down here. You ever seen the fighter jets around here? The Blue Angels? Man, you can hear the sound of freedom, right? I also hear the sound of freedom when I, in my mind, imagine the sounds that took place when they flogged Jesus. And his back was literally split open. I can hear that sound. I can hear the sound when he was walking down the road with a cross so unbearably heavy that he literally just fell down. I hear the sound when they laid Jesus down on a cross that was on the ground. That's how they had to get him on the cross, and they pounded nails through his hands and through his feet, and I hear that sound. And I hear the sound when they lifted the cross up into the hole and it just fell down and just pulled him. I hear that sound because that's the sound of spiritual freedom. It comes from what Jesus did for us while he lived, as he died, and thank God I can hear the sound of him coming out of that grave. These are the sounds of freedom. Let's do our best to share them with people, okay? All right, pray with me, please. God, you are good. I don't know why you selected us, chose us, created us to come into a nation and that is free and offers so many things. I don't know why we were born here as opposed to any other place. I don't understand. It just happened because that's what you willed, because that's how you created us, because this is the circumstance into which you wanted to place us. And we're grateful, so grateful, because a lot of people are born in other countries that don't even come close to the freedom that we enjoy. Physically and spiritually. So God, keep us humble to always thank you for our freedom and keep us convicted to do our best to share this freedom with others who are here in our nation, our next door neighbors, co-workers, friends, and somehow to find ways to share this freedom through Christ literally around the world. So bless us now. Maybe there are some decisions we need to make. Maybe there's just something you've taught us today or reminded us of today and will call us to action. Or maybe you just needed to humble us again. Maybe you just use this to bless us again. But as we have this time of response, we pray that you will guide us to do what you want us to do, to respond to what you're teaching us, what you're saying to us. We pray these things together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, let's pray. Thank you, guys. Have a great holiday tomorrow. Safe, and if you're traveling, be safe. And just remember, as we said, pray for that revival to come to our land. Let it begin with us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this message, the challenge to love and to honor our nation in its godly ways. And Lord, when it's off track, help us to be a part of a solution that brings it back to you. Help us to be the revival. Help us to start in our hearts and then to spread to all those around us and throughout the whole world. Lord, we are truly missionaries to every part of this world. We thank you for that. Lord, we love you. We praise you now. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.